show and tell day today, so I brought this. This is a ring from the 5th century. It's a Byzantine ring with a cross on it, and it's made of bronze. So it's 1,500 years old, or so the lady who sold it on eBay told me it was. I have no reason to think that that's not true. Because they're all over, you know, that what happens with these kind of, with these collections of rings and artifacts from that time is when a conquering kingdom was coming in to destroy all of the people that were kind of afraid of losing their valuables, would bury it. And so archaeologists will find these caches of coins and crosses and mementos and things that they didn't want to be destroyed when the consuming fire of a kingdom would come in to destroy. And so often the kingdom was successful, and so these things remain buried for centuries and centuries. And then they go on sale on eBay, which is what happened here. I've had this one for 5 or 6 years. I bought it for myself, okay? I kind of had this idea when I was going to get ordained. I'd have it here just to kind of pay homage to my Italian roots a little bit, to have my godfather ring on. Well, it doesn't even fit on my pinky, okay? So apparently they didn't eat as much bread back then as I do, because it doesn't even fit past this knuckle. So I said, Lauren, this is for you instead. The thing about things that have been in the ground for 1,500 years is they're dirty. They're gross. And so what I did is Lauren had this jewelry cleaner solution stuff, and so I dropped it in and promptly forgot that I had dropped it in for about 8 hours. And when I came back, it was even smaller than it was before. Like, it feels like half the metal disappeared on this thing. And I was devastated. Because here's the thing that survived war-torn Europe for 1,500 years. And it was safer in the ground for a millennia and a half than it was in my house for one day. And that told me something. And I was really sad about that because I love old stuff, but I tend to break things. The Capannas are breakers. That just is what we do. And I can blame it on the four-year-old, sure. But I have a statue in my room of Jesus washing Peter's feet. And somehow I came in one day and the head was off of this. And Sam ran out of the room when that happened. So now it's Jesus washing John the Baptist's feet is what we've decided. He's not the only one. I break things all the time. Some people will get that later. And I will tell you there's a member of our household who, on the first day I owned sunglasses, I'm not telling you who it is, but she sat on them. And her response was, this is why you don't get nice sunglasses. As if it was my fault, okay? So, but the Capannas are breakers, which is why yesterday after Grandpa's memorial, when I got as a gift his travel communion kit that is about 125 or 150 years old, I almost said no thank you because I was afraid of breaking it. This thing is so precious that I knew it would be in pieces in no time. So I actually, what I found out about us and the reason that this ring still exists in our family was because as soon as I ruined it, I proceeded to lose it. And so losing it somehow preserved it. So I decided what I have to do is actually just hide this for the next 150 years so that it actually survives. Because the Capannas are breakers of things. That's what we do. I broke something else this week. I have a confession to make. I broke the lectionary because I changed all of the readings for today. It was going to be the third week in a row that we talked about Jesus being the bread of life. I figured we've carbo-loaded enough. These are amazing readings, and not to say that I don't value them. And of course, we love Jesus as the bread of life that came down from heaven. But I got word that the worship team was having a hard time coming up with bread-themed songs. And truthfully, I feel like God has blessed us with incredible teaching over the last couple of weeks, and so I wanted to move to something a little bit different, and so I grabbed the readings for a Saints Day a couple of weeks out, and so that's why we have these today. But miraculously, you know, that which I broke, God seemed to have mended together, grafted in, because what it's done is it's brought us continually through this journey of readings over the last month or so. Remember about 3 weeks ago we talked about, I gave you a working definition of faith. That is, faith is the application of memory. We don't have blind faith. We don't pursue God just kind of with our eyes closed like this. But instead, we have these memories of all that God has done. Remember, when we do our service, we read scriptures so that we are filled with the memory of all that God has done. And then as we moved into the Bread of Life readings, we remember communion. We remember that He is the Bread of Life. Every week when we come up here for communion, we use that scripture. Whenever you do this in remembrance. We're a people that apply our memory of God into our faith life for the future. Faith is the application of memory. And when Father Don talks about the Bread of Life, he talked about how important that is for Anglicans. We are sacramental people, and we join him up here at the altar to consume of the Bread of Life every single week. And he talked about what will it take for us to be fully satisfied. In our lives, we are constantly looking for satisfaction, and only that which is from heaven can satisfy. And so we remember that it's God who satisfies our every need. Then last week, we talked about how when Jesus said he's the Bread of Life, he started to hear these grumblers, these people saying, how can this be? Don't we know his dad and mom? How can he say that he came down from heaven? But the root of the issue we talked about was that they did not want to receive his grace. They wanted to somehow earn their salvation through their works, through what they could accomplish. But here is Jesus saying, take and eat. Yeah, this is free. And they refuse it. And we talked about how we can't do anything to earn our salvation because it's already been received in our lives. We've already earned it through Jesus' merits, not our own. We receive it through grace and not anything that we have done. And remember, we talked about the Holy Spirit putting a seal on us in the Ephesians readings last week. We talked about how the Holy Spirit has marked us as His own as a guarantee for our salvation. And so we remember not just what He has done for us, but we remember that we are saved. He has satisfied, and we are saved. Therefore, our salvation is no longer in question. We know that if we follow Jesus, who today says, I am the way and the truth and the life, no one can come to the Father but through me. If we follow that Jesus, our salvation is not in question. When we come to this place, we know that we have been saved. So we remember what He has done. Remember that He is satisfied. Remember that we are saved. Now, what would it feel like if we were just constantly in this moment where we can remember those things? What would it feel like if for every moment of every day, instead of having some goofy song stuck in our head, we have this stuck in our head? That reminder, that remembrance that Jesus satisfies and saves. And we are saved. I gotta tell you, no amount of stubbed toes and parking tickets could rob us of that kind of joy, am I right? There's no moment that we can have these things taken away. Where's the anger? Where's the grief and the discouragement and sorrow? It doesn't exist anymore because this is always on our minds. Somehow it doesn't stay that way, unfortunately. If only our Christian life was a sprint, right? But no, of course we know it's an endurance race. We race and we press on towards the goal, and we endure through Jesus Christ. And that doesn't always mean it's easy. That doesn't always mean that this is on the forefront of our minds. In fact, quite the opposite. Can you remember a time when that was so clear, so precious, so right at the forefront of your thoughts? Maybe it was right after you came to the altar and said, I have decided to follow Jesus today. Maybe it was after a missions trip. Oddly enough, or maybe not oddly enough, maybe it was after some series of persecution. You know, but you have this moment where it feels so close because Jesus feels so close. And you're able to remember every moment what he's done, that he satisfies, that you are saved. And life has this way of just kind of niggling in and trying to interfere and erode away all that we love, all of that memory, all of that joy. I love the book of Hebrews. There is so much exaltation. You know, we hear about God who is higher than all of the angels, who is in his heaven, seated on the throne, who is in the temple giving praises, and Jesus who is interceding on our behalf eternally. You can almost smell the incense from the altar burning. There is such great exaltation that sometimes it's hard to remember why it was there in the first place. Remember why the writer put that in. The people that that letter is written to are people that are struggling. You know, they follow Jesus, and they're saved, and they remember that, and then life gets in the way, and they're starting to experience a little bit of division in their family because of their new faith. They're starting to experience some persecution, not yet to the point of shedding blood, as the letter says. But it's coming. These are the same Christians who for the next 3 centuries will be giving their lives over because they've decided to follow Jesus. Life is getting hard. Life is getting in the way. And it's starting to erode some of their joy. It's exactly what life was. And here are these people who are discouraged and tired and starting to question all that they have remembered. And it's at that moment that the final key to our remembering comes into play. Because you remember that Jesus says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and last, the one who was, and the one who is, and the one who is to come. And we have talked about the one who was, who has done so many good things. And we talked about the one who is, who has promised us this present reality that we are saved. Not just that we will or might be saved or it's in question, but instead we are saved through Jesus. Our present reality is what we remember. But the third key to remembrance is that we remember what is to come. You see, God is on a totally different timeline than we are. We can remember what he's done in the past. We can remember where he has put us now. But we, as Christians, get to remember where we're going. And so the writer in Hebrews talks about it as a present reality that is to come. Because he says, you have come to the holy city. You have come to God's very throne, where the names of those are written in the kingdom. You have come to Jesus Christ, who sprinkled his blood on our behalf. He talks about it as a present reality, and we get to remember it as that which is to come. But it is so guaranteed through the blood of Jesus that he can talk about it as a present truth. And so what does that do for the Hebrews? What does that do for us? What weapon can stand against us? What can shake us? What can hurt us? What can discourage us? Because it says that God once more will consume. It's all going to burn. And God will wash this world away through that cleansing fire. And everything that is not of God, that is not eternal, will be consumed up. And the only thing that will remain are the things of His kingdom, where we will come and be at His feet. What can shake us? Remember that you are children of an unshakable kingdom. Remember that. And then what can stand against you? What can discourage you? What can bring you down? Remember that God has always been working to bring you home. Remember that He is the only one that can satisfy. Remember that He has saved you through His blood. And remember that you are already citizens of the unshakable kingdom. Let's pray. Father, you are a consuming fire. You cleanse and heal. You save. Lord, you are the God who reminds us over and over to remember. Remember all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you will do as one thing. Lord, help us to remember that if we put our trust in Jesus, we are citizens of that unshakable kingdom. Let's take a moment, and just in a few moments here, we'll pray for those who have never made a commitment to Jesus Christ, to come to Him and to offer our very selves to Him. And we'll take a moment to do that, but right now let's just take some time to hear what God is saying to us now. Now, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, or you just want to make that commitment to love Him and to trust in Him and to be saved by Him, I invite you to just pray now. Lord, we give our lives to You. We put our trust in You. We ask Your Holy Spirit to heal us, to come into our lives so that we're never alone, and so that we can be part of that very promise that we who put our trust in You are saved by Your grace, and that we have come to Your very throne where we will stay with You forever. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.